crying. Well, how does that work? Is it a one-way thing, or does God actually, well, talk back? Am I just meant to speak and then hear nothing in return? Or does God speak? And if so, how does that work? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. Today we're going to take a look at this whole prayer thing from a different perspective. And do stick with me, because very soon I'll be telling you about my latest life application booklet. It's called Love Is, and I'd love to send you a free copy to help you experience God's love and share God's love. You know, we can't talk about prayer without talking about the Holy Spirit. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking a lot about the Father and the Son and us, but almost not at all about the Spirit. But here's my problem with this. The third person of the Trinity, this Holy Spirit, he's the most difficult one to understand. And there's a reason for that. When we say Father, we kind of have this human understanding of what a Father is, or at least what he should be. And so we have some starting point to understand God the Father. Same goes with the Son. We have four books written specifically to record his walk on this earth. So, in a sense, we can see and feel and touch and hear him and get our minds around who he is. We have a starting point. But there's no human equivalent to the Holy Spirit. No hook for us to hang our hat on. No starting point for us to understand him. No physical metaphor of this Holy Spirit. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the power of prayer, and I just want to look at the Holy Spirit today. And I want to start with a story that leapt off the page for me the other day. It comes from the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 17 to 25. Have a listen. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed as the king over Israel, all the Philistines went up in search of David. But David heard about it, and he went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. David inquired of the Lord. He said, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand." So David came to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. He said, "The Lord has burst forth against my enemies before me like a bursting flood." Therefore, that place is called Baal Perazim. And the Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men carried them away. Once again, the Philistines came up and were spread out in the valley of Rephaim. When David inquired of the Lord, God said, "You shall not go up. Go around to their rear and come upon them opposite the balsam trees. When you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then be alert, for then the Lord has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines." David did just as the Lord had commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines from Geba all the way to Gezer. Now, why are we reading this story when we're talking about prayer and how God talks and how we talk to God? Because what strikes me in this story is that twice King David inquired of the Lord, and both times the Lord said to David. See, David asked and God spoke. So exactly how did God speak? Did David hear an audible voice? Did David go to one of the prophets, a man appointed by God to speak on his behalf? Or did David simply know in his heart what was the right course of action? Well, God's word doesn't tell us. All we know is that David inquired and God answered. And will you please notice with me that David inquired very specifically and God answered him very specifically. Now, how is it that David could receive such specific instructions from God? Well, the answer is given to us back in the previous book, in the book of 1 Samuel, where David, as a young boy, is anointed as the new king of Israel by the prophet Samuel. Listen to what it says. "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward." The Holy Spirit had come upon him mightily. David was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, that only happened to a few select people, the occasional king, the prophets, or the priest. The average punter like you and me, we didn't get to have a personal, intimate relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. No, no. We had to rely on the priests to be the go-betweens between us and God. But here in this story, we see the full effect of the presence of the Holy Spirit in David. He was able to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord answered him. This is two-way communication, David to God, God to David. Not some general communication, but highly specific communication that David needed for that day. It was life or death communication. The go-between was God himself, God, the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. Because no longer is prayer some kind of shouting clear across the universe. It's an intimate conversation between the Father and his child, between two who are as close as the Son is to the Father. And that's the Spirit's role, to guide and to speak. That's what Jesus said. David knew that. He was a man after God's heart. He received the Spirit in power. And if you and I are believers in Jesus Christ, we too have received the Spirit in power. There are many who have not yet yielded their lives fully to him and have not discovered that power. There are some who discover his power from the moment they believe, yet others can go days, months, even years until they yield their lives so fully to him that he fills them full to overflowing. This God of ours works differently in each one of us. But this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit is there for anybody who would believe in Jesus and lay down their lives. And in prayer, he is our guide and God's speaker. So how does that work? Well, come for a journey with me, if you will, through the chapter that many commentators refer to as the Himalayas of the New Testament, Romans chapter 8. Here the Apostle Paul teaches us what it means to walk in the Spirit rather than in our old selfish desires. He speaks of the freedom that we have now as disciples of Jesus Christ. Listen to how his carefully chosen words talk about the intimacy of the Holy Spirit in our lives. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the very Spirit of God bearing witness in our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we have suffered with him so that we may also be glorified by him. Do you see the wonder and the beauty and the awe of this statement? The Holy Spirit witnesses to us. I know many people, me included, who can open the Bible, and I used to do this. You'd open the Bible and you'd read it and it meant nothing, nothing. But when I gave my life to Jesus and the Spirit came upon me, I now open the Bible, I read the words, and the Holy Spirit picks them up and puts them deep inside me in a way that just me reading them on my own could never happen. The Spirit of God is there when we pray. We can go to God and say, Father, I need specific help, specific instruction, specific guidance from your Spirit today. Sometimes he talks directly to us. Sometimes we open the Bible and we read a few words and they just leap off the page and you go, that's his answer. And other times he'll come to us through someone else who's got a gift to prophesy and to speak God's word into our lives. Listen, let's not make this mistake that God has stopped speaking. The Spirit of God is alive and well today, just as he was when King David needed guidance about the Philistines. Prayer is powerful. You know why? Because God is in that place. God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Love, they say, is what makes the world go round. Well, fair enough. But sometimes we don't feel loved, and sometimes we struggle to share love with those around us. It's not easy. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of my latest booklet, Love Is. And with the life application questions at the end of each chapter, you'll be able to chew things over, to really apply God's word right into the realities of your life. Because God's word, man, it is alive and active, amen? So I'm praying that through this simple booklet, he'll help you experience his love and share his love. You can request your free copy right now at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Just click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. The web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Hey, thank you so much for joining me.
I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.